So students, welcome to Seminar 11, ERM, Risk Management, the Causal Framework. Now, this is the final lecture, and what I'm going to cover essentially on slide 2 is the enterprise risk management thinking process and the use of causal framework, just to get that accurate in terms of you understanding what causal means. Basically, causal means the committee of sponsoring organizations of the Treadway Commission, right? And I'll take you through some history about causal and how the actual cube, causal cube, has come into play. So enterprise risk management. What we mentioned in lecture 10, that enterprise risk management is a change of culture across a variety of different stratas within the actual organization itself. So you've got the operational, project, team levels, etc. And everyone is applying risk management right through. It's a whole of business approach. That's on slide 4. And often today, it is becoming pervasive across many types of businesses. Now, we move on to slide 5. Some of the basic analysis that we've done so far is using PESTLE, PESTLE analysis. And that's just a basic external analysis. We can also apply causal, which are something that I would sort of use in this particular lecture to give you further information, right? Now, best way to start the lecture is for you to look at the causal framework YouTube link to get an appreciation of what it is, because all I'm going to do is give you a very brief outline in terms of what would be applicable. And you might be able to use this. Certainly you will need to mention this in your second assignment, the use of causal and enterprise risk management. So going to slide 7, 1992 is when the Commission of Sponsoring Organizations of the Treadway Commission, COSO, published their first internal integrated framework. In May 2013, they made a change and updated the framework to include a control environment. And they only had one strata, which is now the risk assessment part of it, which incorporated the monitoring, information, communication, control activities, and control environment in that one strata across this new cube. So there's been a big change. Now, in itself, today, in this day, in the 20th of March 2020, the framework in itself looks like slide 8, where you've got the internal environment. That's a new addition that's coming. You've got objectives, event identification, risk assessment, risk response, control activities, information and communication, and monitoring. Can you see that that's very similar to section 6 of the ISO 31000 process? And it does incorporate actually a combination of section 4 and section 5 too. Now, that is just the front-facing phase of the actual cube. Whereas on top, you've got strategic, operations, reporting, compliance, that is all across the business. And then the sub-levels of the businesses, which are the subsidiaries, the business unit, the divisions, and the entity level. So all it's saying is this: the application of enterprise risk management, which are the processes that I've mentioned, all the way from the objectives right to the monitoring, is a cross strategy, operations, reporting, and compliance, and then across every level of the organization from the subsidiary all the way down to the entity sort of level. That's slide 8. Now, 5 components on slide 9 explain that part of this framework, you've got the control environment, you've got the risk assessment environment, you've got the control activities, information and communication, and monitoring. Now, this is super important, right? Regarding COSO, the reason and the benefits for doing this and having these five components there are to ensure internal control. Internal control mechanisms and rules and procedures must be implemented to ensure integrity of the financial, the accounting, promote accountability, prevent fraud, maintain risk management and good practice across the board, right? So the COSO framework in itself, starting with the control environment, it sets standards in terms of processes, structures, and standards that ensure controls are within the all the way from the board of directors to senior managers, who set the tone in terms of setting important internal controls. And the control environment actually comprises of integrity, in ethical values. In this day and age, where sustainability is a big thing, okay? The organizational structure and authority and responsibility and processes for attracting, developing, and retaining competent individuals are built into this particular five-component framework. Okay, you've got measures around performance, incentives, rewards, okay? And the resulting environment has a pervasive impact on the overall system of internal controls. Okay, so then if you go on to the second part, which is the risk assessment part, it specifies the possibility of events occurring. And remember that risk is anything that could happen, which would be an event. Okay, it's a dynamic and iterative process in terms of achieving objectives. And across the entity, consider relative to establishing risk controls, that this is an important part. A preconditioning for risk assessment is the establishment of objectives. I've said this many times in the lecture. If the company is clear with its objectives, not only from strategy, but its objectives for risk, based on its risk appetite and its risk tolerance, then there are clear determinations that can be made in terms of how you're going to manage risk assessment and the risk processes within the organization. Okay, so managers who set the tone in terms of how risks are going to be assessments are going to be done, therefore it'll be the tone that the organization takes, and it's part of the culture. Okay, and there has to be much management sort of support. Now, number three, control activities are the actions in terms of policies and procedures. So control can be any form in terms of the policies and processes that are in place. Controls are that must happen across all parts of the entity at various stages, right? All the way from the board of directors to technology, occupational health and safety, as we spoke about, business continuity planning, as we spoke about, you know, projects, you know, that's there. So it's all part, it's the second half of the actual lecture. Are the controls that are in place. But having good processes, having good systems, whether it's IT or otherwise, having good segregation of duties, okay, that's important. It's super important, right, for an organization to maintain control. Now, the fourth component, information and communication, I've stressed this many a time, internal communication and external communication, that's there to support the functioning of the business. It's important for it to actually sort of be so, okay, so that there are clear messages from management, that control responsibilities are taken seriously. And communication is in twofold. It enables inbound and outbound sort of communication, right? So that's an important part. So communication is, again, super important. It's all through, across, up and down the organization and externally as well. Finally, the fifth component, monitoring. The evaluation and monitoring process is the review process. Part of Section 6, there's always one section at the bottom. Once you've done risk assessments, there's a monitoring and review to make sure that it's functioned. Now, this relates back to your second assignment where the question around performance management of risk. Can the organization ensure that your risk systems are appropriate so that the performance of the company is then monitored regularly and reviewed regularly, right? And findings that are found are evaluated against established criteria, whether it's actually a criteria set externally by regulators or whether it's an internal standard or from the management. And all of those things need to be monitored and reviewed. That's the fifth sort of component in the in this particular slide 9. Now, out of the fifth components, there's 17 principles within each of the 5 areas. I'm going to go through them really, really quickly, right? One, integrity, responsibility, okay. Everyone's held accountable. That's the first one. Six to nine. The first one under control environment is from 1 to 5. Then from 6 to 9 is under the risk assessments, specific objectives. Again, objectives are super clear. Why is the system in place? Which is the risk management system? Can you identify risk? Can you consider potential frauds? Can you assess changes? And the middle one, that component from 10 to 12, develop control activities to mitigate risk, controls to support achievement of the objectives, and deployment of control. Okay. The fourth component from 14 to 15 is obtain information to support internal control. There's a communication component, as I mentioned previously. And then finally, from the monitoring, which is the fifth element here from 6 and 7, sort of 16 and 17 principles there. Okay. Now, what is the purpose of all of this? The purpose of all of this, if you go on to slide 11, is this. You got these principles within the 5 components. It does cover governance and culture. Okay, so these principles does cover governance, culture, the strategy and the objectives being set, the performance being set, the review and revision, and the internal reporting. So it's all across the strata. If you look at slide 12, you've got the business strategy and objectives and performance. There are the possibility of strategy not aligning, okay, implications from strategy chosen, and risk to strategy performance. If you have a good causal framework, which is the middle part, the strategy and business objective performance, that will align with your missions and your value and create enhanced performance. That's the goal of COSO. Now, translated there is, it is in slide 13, it is across ensuring that every possibility to minimize any risk within that strategic framework has to be considered, okay? So COSO model in itself, and there's the operational reporting compliance part of that, and it does enable you to maintain control from a sustainability sort of perspective. Moving on to slide 14, if you can see here, there is the governance and culture component in terms of the business strategy. There's also the objective setting and risk execution, communication and monitoring. That sits well and truly in the middle of business objectives. So you can see enterprise risk management is a link between its core vision and core values to what it's producing in the external world out there. Another way to translate these five components here is that if you break them down based on slide 15, you can notice that monitoring has got a couple of components like ensuring systems are in place, evaluation, there's supervisory, there's internal audit, information and communication, there's pertinent information identified for assessments. And always remember that risk, with risk, you have to have good information for you to actually have mitigation plans. Then the control activities that are in place, policies and procedures, verification recommendations, etc. That's super important. Fifth area here, assessment, identification, analysis of relevant objectives, forming basis of determination of control. That is the risk assessment component. Those are the internal risk processes that is there. And finally, the control environment factors in terms of supporting organizational influence and consciousness of its people, you know, the ethical integrity, all the other softer values are the foundational values part of in terms of that control process. Now, moving on to similarities between COSO and the ISO 31000 sort of framework, you can see that enterprises need to adopt this particular approach with the right level of sponsorship. There's structured processes and oversight, formal documentation, and established communication. So the cube in itself should then be sitting on top of Section 6 of the ISO framework. Once you've got the foundational principles right, that is, risk is a culture, risk management is a culture thing where businesses top down across, they apply it across their strategy all the way up to compliance, all the way down from there across all business units. The ISO 31000 process would be easy to be implemented. Okay, so there are similarities. However, the COSO cube in itself sets the tone, so to speak, in terms of managing that similarities and making sure that the systems are in place so that those processes within the ISO process works. So in summary, just a few things to top and tail for this last lecture. We talked about enterprise risk management being part of the culture where leadership and management need to be committed. There's an interdependency between policy, goals, rewards, and sanctions. Methodologies, processes, and outputs are there. That's super important for that to be in place. Communication, consultation, again, with the internally and externally are important. Training and development are important. There's quantitative and qualitative elements as well within the process that helps it to get to a point where you can measure, monitor, and review, and finally ensure that the systems that are in place are ingrained and they're part of the institution. So COSO provides an overarching framework to support the ISO system to work. So thank you so much, students, for your time. Final few things in parting regarding your assessments and that are coming up. You've got your assignment 2 that's coming up. I've given you guidance in week 8. Check out the audio in week 8. We are in the process of preparing an exam, and I will let you know in time how that will be conducted. But for now, all the best. Take care. If there's any further requirements to be in contact, please do send me an email. It's amurthy@sheridan.edu.au. All the best. I look forward to receiving your second assignment and providing feedback soon. And just a final couple of words. Success is a state of mind, and therefore, I wish you all the best.